Well, as we've been reporting, the United States has announced it'll withdraw its remaining forces from northern Syria completely as Turkey continues its assault on Kurdish fighters. And the conflict is fast broadening, with the Syrian army now heading north to confront Turkish troops after striking an unlikely deal with the Kurds. The escalating violence has prompted calls from NATO allies, including France and Germany, for Turkey to halt its offensive. Richard Miles is the Shadow Defence Minister. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Shadow Minister.
Good morning, Geraldine. How are you?
Good. Now, Germany and France have told Turkey to stop its operation in Syria. They fear an IS resurgence. What should Australia's message to Turkey be?
Well, I think it is appropriate that there is condemnation of the steps that Turkey has taken here. Syria has been a tragedy for the last 10 years. It's the single biggest cause of displaced people in the world today, at a point where there are more displaced people in the world today than there have been at any point since the Second World War. And I understand, of course, Turkey has borne a significant brunt of that. But I think all of us are deeply concerned that what we're witnessing is the next chapter in Syria's misery. And so it's very important that there are cool heads that prevail here, and that we
but
don't
would a cool
see
head call coolly for a ceasing of this this operation?
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. And the steps that Turkey have taken have to be condemned, and it is appropriate that they cease. I think the other point has to be made here, of course, that the United States, in taking the steps they did, obviously could have anticipated that this would have occurred. And so that's, deeply concerning as well.
We have quite a significant defence relationship with Turkey. They share airborne radar technology and naval helicopter technology with us, and we have joint training exercises. Might it be time to review that relationship?
Oh, I think we need to take this at a step at a time, and all of those things can be considered going down the track. But I think what's important now is to make the statement that this is not this is a step which needs to be condemned. That a ceasing of Turkish activity is what should occur, and that we all need to be making sure that all the players in this situation are talking with each other so that we don't witness unfolding the next chapter in Syria's misery.
I mean, France and Germany have both also announced they're suspending arms sales to Turkey, despite it being in NATO with them. Doesn't that add to pressure on countries like Australia not to sit back? I know you've said to sort of come in and condemn, but maybe it needs to be ramped up a little bit.
Well, as I say, I think it's important to take this a step at a time. We need to be using our voice internationally to be encouraging all the players in this landscape, in this situation, to be talking with each other with a view to reducing tensions, not increasing them, and doing everything that we can
so
to make sure that
you think a statement might increase tensions, do you?
No, I'm just saying that I think we should be using our voice globally to encourage Turkey to cease what they're doing. And it does involve a condemnation of Turkey, no question. And as I say, I think what we are watching play out was the inevitable consequence of the American decision, and we shouldn't forget that as well. But what matters now is that all the players in this situation are being brought together in a way to reduce tensions and reduce conflict so that we don't witness the next chapter of Syria's misery unfold.
There are reports that IS sympathisers in the Al-Hol displaced persons camp, which is further south, but it's in northern Syria, that they have escaped as the fighting gets closer. The Defence Secretary in America virtually confirmed that. Now, several Australian women and children are in that camp. The estimates are up to 65. And until now, we've had journalists going in and out, and we've seen reports on that. We won't be able to do that if the Syrian army effectively takes hold, will we? What concerns do you have about these developments?
Oh, I think it's all deeply concerning. So firstly, I think the escape of IS fighters is very concerning, and all of us have been around the world making the observation that there's the real risk of a re-emergence of ISIS coming out of this. And And that would be an appalling outcome if that were to transpire. You're right, there are a number of Australians in these camps. It is important that we do everything we can in relation to them, and there's no doubt that if you're a child who's been born into that situation, as there are a number who would be Australian citizens, it is a terrible deck of cards to be given at the outset of your life. And they are most certainly victims in this situation. Having said that, it is important that we are taking the advice of our security agencies about what's possible and what's the best way forward here. And I think that's the appropriate step at the moment,
to get
a sober assessment as to what can be done and what should be done in relation to each of these individuals.
You know, we don't have any diplomatic representation with Syria, like most countries, I might add. So if the situation is changing so fast, there will need to be some form of interaction with the Syrians, won't there, if they do get hold of that camp?
Well, I think we take this a step at a time. I'm not obviously privy to all the advice of the agencies. That's ultimately a matter for the government, but I'm certain the agencies have a very clear line of sight on what the situation is in relation to those camps and which Australians are there and what can, if anything, what can be done and what should be done. And that's the advice that the government needs to be taking at the moment.
Are you being briefed on this, by the way?
I haven't yet had a specific briefing on each of the individuals.
I mean, you remember the very strong statements, I think, by the Prime Minister and I think Minister Dutton, but particularly the Prime Minister, saying he doesn't intend to risk any Australian lives going in there and trying to extract people who have gone and volunteered one way and the other to be with ISIS. So this is what has been the prevailing view, and now events are moving so fast. There was a bit of a sort of status quo before, but it's not the case anymore. Would you be inclined to change your mind?
Look, ultimately, again, these are matters for the government, but ultimately I think there are Australians involved and in a sense, it's an extreme sense, but in a sense there is a consular service that in a way they are entitled to. But that service and this is a very extreme situation, can only ever be provided within the context of what is possible. I think in addition to that, there will be advice that our agencies can give government about security assessments in respect of a number of the people who are in those facilities, who are Australian citizens. And exactly how they're treated in respect of that is obviously important as well. There is an obligation to do what can be done for these people. There is also an obligation to the safety of the Australian public, and that has to be borne in mind as well. There is no doubt that all the children who have been found themselves in this situation are absolutely victims in this. So ultimately, it's a question of what's possible, and it's a question of what should be done, and the safety of the Australian public forms part of this equation. That's what the agencies will be thinking in terms of when they form the advice that they give to government, and that's the appropriate advice to be following.
Mr. Miles, on a different issue, your colleague Penny Wong, the Shadow Foreign Minister, will deliver a speech today attacking the Morrison government's strategy with China. Last week, Peter Dutton called China out over cyber hacking, and he said the Communist Party of Australia, as opposed to the diaspora here, and their policies in certain respects were inconsistent with our own values. Now, clearly, Penny Wong believes that the government is not managing this relationship well. What's the problem on the face of it with what, say, Minister Dutton said?
Well, firstly, I completely agree with the observations that Penny is making. I struggle to see what the guiding philosophy is that this government is bringing to bear in its relationship with China. I really can't see what it is. And I certainly haven't heard any government MP articulate it. And yet this is one of the two most important relationships that Australia has. This is our largest trading partner. And so, sure, there are differences between Australia and China. It's also not a binary situation. Walking down a path of seeking to define China as the enemy, I'm not sure how that is useful. But so at the
would
end
you
of the
be,
day,
you'd be emphasising, are you saying that there needs to be a sort of an articulation of what some new boundaries will be? Is that what would that amount to good, proper policy articulation?
Well, an articulation of a policy would be nice. I mean, there is no guiding philosophy that is being articulated by this government in respect of its relationship with China. And that is just... there is a negligence in duty there on the part of the government when you're talking about how absolutely significant this relationship is. And in the midst of the void which is then created by that, I think we have seen a whole lot of gratuitous behaviour on the part of the government in respect of its relationship with China. And this is a point that Penny's also making, that you know the government is all too prepared to take short-term steps which are really more about the domestic partisan political fray than about what is the long-term relationship with China. And yet how we manage our relationship with China is going over the long term, not over the next couple of weeks, but over the next few decades, will be very central to the prosperity and security of all Australians. And so this is a big deal. And the fact that the government can't articulate what a guiding philosophy is behind its relationship with China, I think says everything about how badly this government is managing the relationship.
Well, thank you for those views.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Shadow Defence Minister Richard Marles joining us on Breakfast.